We hope this message from Word of Life Church is a blessing to you.
I believe in the church. I believe that the church is at the center of what God is doing in the earth. And I think it's something important. I think that we should talk about it. Many of we do a lot of things in church, and so tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about church. And as I do, I want to start off with a scripture passage from Paul, who's writing to a real church in a city called Ephesus. It's in Ephesians 2, verse 19 that we find our scripture passage for tonight. And it says this: God is building a home. He's using all of us, irrespective of how we got here, in what he's building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God, all of us built into it. A temple in which God is quite at home. Man, it's a beautiful verse out of the Message translation by Eugene Peterson. Let us pray tonight before we continue. Lord, we come before you tonight. And God, I pray that we would recognize your presence in this place, your church, because your word says where two or more are gathered in your name, that you're right there in the midst of us. So be here tonight. May we recognize your presence. May we have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord. Open us up, Lord, tonight to your Holy Spirit. Speak truth to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So some of you may not know me very well. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, a suburb there in North Metro Atlanta. I am not from St. Joseph, Missouri. Don't throw tomatoes, please. We have great community pride in St. Joe. It's one of the things that I recognize right away about our community is that people that are from St. Joe love St. Joe. And you know what? I do too. I've been here for about 8 years. You know, I came here to be a part of a ministry internship called Master's Commission, a discipleship program that we had, a decade ago, 8 years ago in 2003. And while I was here, I met this Midwest girl named Megan Shaver, and you could say I fell in love with the Midwest. And I decided to marry that girl and stay here and be in this church, be in this community, and I'm really glad that I did. I'm glad that I feel like God led me here, and this is a good place to be in St. Joe in the Midwest. And I actually grew up in a church similar to Word of Life Church. It was actually called River of Life Church. I don't know what was up with all the of life churches in the 70s and 80s, but there's a lot out there and they're all over the country. I went to one of them, River of Life Church. So I feel like I can agree with the DNA and the journey of Word of Life Church a little bit. But where I experienced some differences in my church that I grew up in, Word of Life Church. Although I was in the church my entire life, I'm telling you, I promise I was. My mom, I got a story from my grandmother about my mom being in an ankle-length floral dress with her high-top Reeboks on in the mid-80s and those workout socks, you know, right? And she was pushing me to church in a stroller like 5 miles away because my dad worked on Sundays. I mean, since I couldn't walk, before I could walk, I was in church. So I've seen the church at its high places, and I've seen the church when it's been in its low places. And I think many of us can agree with that tonight if you've grown up in church as well. I've seen the beautiful things of the church, the times that the church was beautiful, that where people were gathering together and there was energy in the room because they were passionately worshiping God, not out of hype, but out of a passionate pursuit for the presence of God, right? To see him high and lifted up, to praise his name. I've seen the church when it's in its groove, accomplishing the mission of God to care for the needy in its community, to care for the people on the fringe of society, the bottom rung of society. I've seen people just lining up to get in the doors because growth was happening. That happened in my church. But the reality is I also saw a very messy side of my church at times because there are seasons. If a church exists long enough, there are beautiful times and there are messy times. I'm going to be real with you tonight because we're here in church, right? And I want to tell a story about my church, and I'm not trying to put a damper on tonight's mood right away, but I want to get real and then we're going to explore what God does with our messy times in the church. But in my church, we were at the height of our growth. We have grown so much that we bought a second location. In Atlanta, hello, you can have like 10 locations and still not be able to reach everybody. It's a big place. And so we had two locations and it was prime ground, 40 acres that we bought right before the largest mall in the Southeast was approved to be built down the street. And if you guys know real estate in here, the value just quadrupled overnight. It was awesome. It was a good time. We built a new building. We were right in the booming part of town. The church was growing. I mean, my pastor was actually, we had Hillsong United come in. My pastor was going down to Australia to speak in things they had there at Hillsong, you know. And things were good. My mom and my grandmother at one point were both secretaries on staff at the church. And so I remember the day, though, when the bad news came. I remember where I was. I was in my grandfather's garage working on my 96 Chevy S10 lowrider. It's Atlanta. We have lowriders there. I moved to St. Joe. Now I put a lift kit on my vehicle, all right? So, but I remember where I was. I was working on my truck, and my grandmother came in with some of the most sobering news I had ever heard in my life before, in the church and everything. And it was the same story that we've heard time and time again, unfortunately, in the church. And that my pastor, our lead pastor of 13 years, had fallen hard morally, and that the church was in trouble. And it was a sobering experience for me at 16 years old. This man who had really helped form me for my whole life in the Christian walk. And it was bad, folks. It was really bad. Everything from a drunk driving accident to drugs, prostitution, gambling, the whole thing. And then the money, right? I mean, this is the mess of the church at times. The money. Millions of dollars in debt to bonds to church members. And this new property that we had gotten, right? Everything looked great, but man, things went bad quick. And the church went from being very beautiful to very messy very quickly. And I'll tell you that a lot of families left. I was 16, so I decided to stay with my family who decided to stay through that. But I want to tell you tonight, in the midst of that incredible mess where everything was falling apart, we had to sell our old location, move to a smaller building. I was a part of a youth group that was hanging on by just a thread. And in that mess, I mean incredible mess that my church faced, I saw some of the most beautiful things come from that time in people's lives. I saw God do some of the most amazingly beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. I was reminded when I was thinking about this story, writing this message, of a couple named Mike and Melanie Holland. They were just one who stepped up in this time of messiness in our church, and they saw that our youth group was in shambles, right? We didn't have a youth pastor anymore. It was a mess, but we were still there. There were still teenagers who were in need, right? And they decided, as just parents of young kids, well, he was in the medical profession. She was a stay-at-home mom. They decided to do something they had never done before, and they took over the youth group. Volunteer-based, right? In the midst of this mess that the church was going through, they saw these teenagers in need, and they took over the youth group. And so here we are. We have these two new folks, and they began to pour out their lives to us. And I know in my own life there was times where I had no one else to turn to but Mike and Melanie Holland. And in those pivotal years of 16 and 17, when I first started driving and getting in trouble, you know what I'm saying, not getting home when I was supposed to because I was out doing crazy things, they were there to speak words of wisdom into my life, to lead and guide me through rough relationships with girls and all this other junk that teenagers face. But they stepped up and did something incredibly beautiful that changed my life, and it changed theirs as well. They got to experience what it was to pour out their life in the church for teenagers. And to this day, they are still involved in youth ministry. They live in Pennsylvania now. And Melanie they started a ministry to help at-risk youth. And one of the things that they're doing is building the first runaway and youth homeless shelter in their county in Pennsylvania. They got accepted for a grant, and they're pioneering that in their community. It changed them forever. And it was right in the midst of the messiest time of the church that God was still at work. God was still bringing about beautiful things in the midst of a mess. Why did I tell that story? Because I want you to know that I do know what it is like to be disillusioned with the church, to give up on the idea that the church is supposed to be the answer in the world. We have the answer. It's Jesus Christ to fix this broken world. I know what it's like to be disillusioned and go, man, the church is more broken than the world at times, it seems. I was 16, trust me. 16-year-olds can be incredibly cynical. Trust me. I'm a youth pastor. Lord help me. So, but seriously, I know what it's like to be disillusioned with the church. I know that the church can be a place of incredible hurt and pain. I know that the church at times can seem almost unbearable. And many of you in here tonight know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to be disillusioned with the church. You know what it's like to be deeply hurt by someone in the church. Maybe the deepest hurts you've ever had were from someone in the church. Maybe I've been the one to hurt someone in here tonight. Maybe you've just been fed up with all the messiness of the church at times. Maybe you're just done with it all. Some of us, most of us in here, have had seasons where we've experienced that, where we felt disillusioned with the church. But tonight, I want to let you know that there is hope. No matter what season the church is in, whether the beautiful times, the messy times, there's hope. And the church has been around for a long time, thousands of years, a long time. And God has been at work for a long time in the church. And when we look at our scripture in Ephesians, I want to remind you that this is a real church with real people. And they lived and existed and had their congregation in a real city, and they faced real problems. Now, the church of Ephesus is like the poster child of churches in scripture when you look at the New Testament. But I want to tell you the story of Ephesus, the church there, is a story that started with the teacher Apollos, a famous teacher, started the church in Ephesians. And guess what? There were an amazing amount of 12 people that started the congregation in Ephesus, just 12. It was a dwindling, kind of struggling congregation when Paul comes on the scene. On his second missionary trip through that region, he stops in the region and visits the church in Ephesus. He was going to stay there for a few months and teach them about the Holy Spirit, bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit to them, or an understanding of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church, which Apollos kind of didn't do well in his teaching there. But that 3 months turned into 3 years. Imagine going on a summer vacation and end up coming home 3 years later. That's what happened to Paul. If that tells you anything, read between the lines. There were some messes to clean up in the church of Ephesus. Some things to work on with this church. And yet we see the church at times after Paul has been there 3 years at an incredibly healthy place, right? And when he writes Ephesians, they're at a healthy place. But remember, later on, they found themselves in messes again with the dominant culture creeping into the doors. And then we have Paul sending his protege Timothy to help with those problems, and we can read all about that in the books of Timothy. So I'm just saying all that to let you know that as we read this scripture passage again, remember that this is a church who has messes, just like every church that has ever existed, because churches are made up of messy people, and God does use us. And Paul writes this to this messy church in Ephesus. He says this, he says, God is building a home, talking about the church. He's using us all. And he speaks to us tonight. Let these words speak to Word of Life Church tonight. God is building a home. He's using all of us, irrespective of how we got here and what he's building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Paul reminds us here that despite the messy times or the beautiful times of the church, that it is God who is building the church. We can never forget that. This is God's church, and he's the one that's behind the scenes, in the midst of tragedy or celebration, still at work in the church. Still building the church using each and every one of us. So tonight I want to tell you that this isn't just a gathering of people to sing songs or even just to worship for a certain amount of time. We haven't gathered just to be a crowd to listen to cool music or an inspirational message. We are the church. It's bigger than we can imagine. We are the church and God is our builder, right? God is the one behind the scenes that's building this house of beauty that we call the church. And he uses bricks. He uses us like bricks, right? Humans, messy, broken people, stacking us brick upon brick. My gosh, if you're going to use messy, broken people, just use a couple. Don't build the whole thing out of brick upon brick of people, Lord. Are you crazy? I mean, you only got one that's amazing, and that's Jesus at the corner. But he holds us all together, right? And when Jesus uses us broken, he takes us broken, messy, dirty humans, and he says, guess what? There's a way for you to be restored. There's a way for your purpose to be brought back, for you to be made beautiful, and that is to join the church, to be a part of what God is doing, right? To become a follower of Jesus and therefore joined with him, being taken by God from a mess, formed into a brick and placed among the believers, building a house where God is at home there, building the church. But sometimes we have to ask, well, what is the church necessarily? I mean, I use that word a lot, church, the church, the church. Eugene Peterson writes this in his definition of the church. He says, the church is the gift of a community of Christians in which we rehearse and orient ourselves in the practice of resurrection. It is never an abstraction, never anonymous. Listen, it's never a problem to be fixed, never an ideal to be fantasized. He goes on to say, this, talking about the church, this is the holy soil in which we have been planted. The conditions that make it possible for us to grow up in Christ, to become mature, healthy in God, robust in love. The holy soil, the holy mess, that's the church, right? It's where we find ourselves. It's where God cultivates beautiful things. And I'm going to tell you something about soil. That's why I got this stuff up here. I have to use stuff like this in youth ministry because when the kids get bored, they just start staring at mums, you know? At least they're not like texting or something. Okay, they do that too. But soil, we talk about the holy soil that's the church. And I've got some soil here. This is, what is it called? Bracto? I think is the brand. Man, I'm telling you, we use this in our garden this year. I'm not going to give a plug, but if you can find Bracto soil, it's amazing. Our cucumbers and tomatoes were off the chain this year, right? We couldn't eat them all. I had to put tomatoes down the garbage disposal after nobody would take them anymore, right? Anyway, soil. We're talking about soil. And I'm from Georgia. We have red clay, Georgia clay, down south. If you're from Oklahoma, it's there too. Trust me. I went to school there. And that stuff is nasty. It doesn't come out of your clothes. It gets stained on your white tennis shoes. It starts creeping up on the sides of your house and turning it orange when it rains. But when I moved to Missouri, I found out what real dirt was. Yeah, that's right. When I first saw it, I thought it was cow poop. That stuff was so dark, man. I was like, good Lord, is that cow poop or dirt? And one thing I found out later is that, yeah, half the dirt in Missouri is cow poop, right? That's right. The great Midwest. And we got good dirt here. And this is the thing about dirt. When dirt is wet, sometimes it turns to what we call mud, right? And mud can stink. Have you ever smelt some nasty mud before? Oh, goodness. We don't have mud like that in Georgia, I'll tell you that. But we got some other stinks. So what I'm saying is that dirt, man, it's nasty at times. Some of you guys love it if you got a green thumb. That's why I'm playing in it right now, because I love the way it feels. But let me tell you, it gets in your carpet, and mama's not happy when you walk in with your boots, men, right, from work, and you're too tired to take them off. Like my dad used to do, he pops up on the couch, and he talks to me and my sister and goes, you want to take my shoes off for me? Right? Anyway. And dirt's all over the coffee table and stuff. Dirt's messy. But it's dirt, soil, that God uses to bring about some of the most beautiful things on earth, right? If you're a nature freak at all, I am. I love creation. I think it speaks of the grandiose majesty of our God, the creator of this beautiful creation. And dirt is where that beauty comes from, right? You take some soil like this and you plant some mum seeds in it, some flower seeds. You give it a little water here and then. And sooner or later in the fall, you have some beautiful mums, right? Beautiful. Out of this stuff that came from cow poop at one point. It's a miracle. And that's like our lives. That's like the church at times, right? Humans, we're humans. And humans make up the church. People are in the church, right? And humans, the root word for humans is humus. That's dirt, that's soil, right? God breathed upon us, brought dust together and breathed life into us. We're from the earth. We're from this messy stuff called dirt. But yet with a little seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and some watering from the Holy Spirit, right? God causes us messy humans to be formed and what and grow up in what Eugene Peterson says, grow up in Christ, right? Healthy in God, robust in love. And we become, in a sense, the beauty of the flowers of the field, right? I mean, Scripture talks about that, oh God, we're... How much more does God care for us than even the flowers? Because we were created in His image. Things went wrong at one point, but there's restoration, there's redemption. When we join in what God is doing, He makes beautiful things out of even the messiest of situations, the messiest of lives, the messiest of churches. God can make the most beautiful, wonderful things out of those things. Band, if you guys want to come back up here. Tonight, as we talk about flowers and soil, the messiness of church, I want to remind you that this is reality. At times, the church is messy. Many of you guys know that in here tonight. When I talked about my story, maybe you've been through a similar story, right? Maybe you know what it is to be hurt in church. You know the messiness of the church maybe more than anyone in this room. But I believe that you can choose to see God at work in those times of messiness. And I believe in your life, even when we individually face messes, God is in the business of bringing beautiful things out of messiness. In Isaiah, the prophet speaks of God. He says, God gives beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. This is the work of the Lord. This is the work of salvation, to bring about beauty out of a world that is incredibly messy. And you know what? We're the church. We're called to shine at the top of a hill, like a city on the hill. We're taught to bring beauty. We're called to bring beauty into the world, but sometimes we ourselves find ourselves in a world of mess. But beauty always comes after the mess. Look for the beauty. Look for God at work in the midst of the mess, because He's there. He's building a house, a beautiful house, using each one of us messy individuals, making beautiful things happen where He feels right at home. That's amazing that God feels at home, even in our mess. He's right there. So tonight, I encourage you, participate. Be here. Be a part of the church. Despite its messiness, choose to let God place you in brick by brick, right? Choose to see God at work in your life in the midst of the church's mess. Choose to see the beauty behind the scenes. Choose to be a part of that beauty that's happening, even in the messy times. And when things are all good, never forget to acknowledge that it's God that we pay tribute to, because He is the one who brings His beauty into our lives, into the church, and into the world that we live in. Amen. Well, as I was writing this message tonight, I couldn't help but be reminded of the song, Beautiful Things, right? The song that talks about you make beautiful things out of us, right? We come from the dust. I was just right down the alley, right? I thought, man, we've got to sing that song tonight. So if you would stand with me tonight, and we're going to sing the song one more time, but I want you right now even to think about the times that you've been disillusioned with church. Maybe you're there right now. The times that life has been messy with your relationships in the church. The times that you've maybe lost hope in the church. And as we sing this song, may it be a faith statement that you're going to believe and choose to see God in the midst of the beauty and the mess of the church working to bring about beautiful things out of us, no matter what the season. Amen. Let's sing.